Church, one more time, because we're not here for all these things. We're here for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So let's shout unto Him again and give Him the praise that He deserves. And I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And I'm going to ask you to do something that's maybe a little weird for some of you. If it is, you don't have to do it, but I'm going to ask you. I want us to lift our hands tonight as we pray, and I'll tell you why. Because my prayer tonight is that our lives, our hands, and our voices would be reaching to God, because He has what we need. No man has it. No church has it. No place has it. No government has it. But He has it. And I'm going to ask you, not necessarily to listen to me pray, but we're just going to cry out to Him tonight, and we're going to ask Him to move in a way tonight that no person could get the glory for. No person could get the credit for. No praise team could get the praise for. But we're going to ask God to move in a way tonight that when you leave here, you won't remember who preached. You won't remember who sung. You remember that there's a God in heaven and He's Lord of all. And so let's pray to Him. Father, we come to You tonight, Lord Jesus, and we come to You because there is no place else to go. We come to You because, Lord, You have all we need. Lord, You indeed have the words of life. Where else would we turn? And we reach our hands to heaven, Lord, because we want more of You. We desire more of You. And, Father, the message tonight is going to be so simple. It's going to be that we've got to empty ourselves of us and that You fill us up with You. And Lord, we reach to You, we cry to You, we sing to You, we praise to You, Father. And my prayer, Lord, tonight is not that anybody would hear me, or that anybody would see me, or that anybody would know me, but our prayer corporately together, all of us, Lord Jesus, is tonight that we would see You, that we would hear You, and that we would know You, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we can't invite You to this place because You are already here, Lord. But we pray, Father, You would bless us with a mighty movement, Father, of Your presence. We pray tonight, Lord, that people would be saved. We pray tonight, Lord, that people would follow You into the baptismal waters. I pray tonight, Lord, that You would heal marriages right here on this field. I pray tonight, Lord, that You would bring home the prodigals tonight on this field. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that You would move and we would forget this weekend ever happened because we would be so filled with You. So touch us, Jesus. And it's in Your name that we pray. Amen. And everybody said, amen. It is my prayer tonight that that would truly be the cry of our hearts, that we want to know Him, that we want to follow Him. Every one of us here tonight in this field, every one of us are going to give our lives to something. Every one of us. No human has existed that has not given their lives to something. All of us will. Louis Giglio said, we're all wired to worship. Every one of us are. And our prayer is that we would worship Jesus, the only one who's worthy of our worship, of our praise, and of our lives. I want to share with you tonight, I don't know if you've ever had a moment in your life where a question rocked your world. And I don't mean kind of the humdrum questions that we face every day, like when we go through McDonald's and they say, do you want to supersize it? That's not the kind of question I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of question that rocks your world for the rest of your life. And in this gospel account that I want us to look at, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, we have this moment. Beginning in verse 13, it said, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Now that's a question that I've just prayed all day, that God would just literally break our hearts over this question. I want you to notice a couple things. I've told you tonight that I'm praying that this would be a night of salvation, that this field where so many events take place on all throughout the year would be known from here on out as a field of salvation, not because it's magical, but because on this night, last night, this weekend, this was a place that God touched people's hearts. He broke them with a godly sorrow over their sin, and He saved them. And that's my prayer tonight. But I want you to notice this, right here in the Gospel of Matthew. He is not asking this question to people that don't know Him. He asked His disciples. It's interesting. He says they're in this place called Caesarea Philippi. You want to know what that's like? It's New York City. Everybody got that? You can find a church to any God that exists in New York City. The gods that have books written about them. The gods that have temples erected to them. The God that people carry in their purse or their wallet. Every God that's represented in the world is in New York City. This was Caesarea Philippi. It was that kind of a place. And here's this guy. And his name is Jesus. And you can't find a church there for him. And you can't find a bunch of followers there for him. And he turns to the handful of people who are following him. And he asks a question. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Now, I'm going to be really honest with you. Jesus could care less about who everybody thought he was. In this moment, Jesus is not concerned about what everybody thinks, but he's leading them into this. They replied, some say John the Baptist. Does anybody remember what has just happened to John the Baptist? Yes, he is missing some eyes, a nose, a mouth, some ears, and hair. He's beheaded. And so this is a great answer. And the disciples think they've got all kinds of wisdom. And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. And why not? He's just been killed. And they go on and they're answering this question. Some say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But here's what Jesus really is getting to. He says, but what about you? Who do you say I am? That's the question. I don't care what all these hundreds of thousands of people in this region think or care about Jesus right here in this moment. You know why? Because God has brought you here tonight. Did everybody hear that? You can say amen. I can't see all of you. You're going all the way back there past the bleachers. But I want you to know this. I can't see you. I shook as many hands as I could, and I may probably didn't get to you, but I got a message for you, and that is this. You're not here tonight by accident. I want you to know you had a divine invitation to be here tonight, regardless of what invitation you thought you had. And I ask you tonight, every one of you sitting on this field tonight, this question that Jesus posed, not just this world-shattering question, but this question that has changed eternity since really the beginning of time as we have known it. Jesus said, who do you say I am? He didn't care about the crowds. He's not concerned about the crowds. He asked the disciples, who do you say I am? And he wants to bring it home right there in front of their lives. And there'll never be a question that will be more important or more significant in your life tonight than that one. Who is it that you say Jesus is? There are a lot of opinions about Jesus, right? Right? There's a lot of them, and people have all kinds of opinions. And usually, the one you hear the most is people say, well, I tell you what, I do believe Jesus was this really great guy. And I believe that he was really nice, and he just had this really huge heart. And I had one guy tell me that Jesus, you know, actually, that his heart was physically bigger than most people's hearts, and that's why he was so grand. But Jesus asked this question, and I want you to take note that he asked this question of those he knew the deepest and of those that he knew the most. But what about you? Who do you say I am? It's not that we would know any other person or that we would know any other thing. It's about Jesus. And I want you to know that this life comes down to one thing. It's not all your achievements and it's not all your accolades. And I got good news over here. It's not about your failures and the places where you have fallen short. And it's not even about your sin. Did everybody hear that tonight? I want you to know that this life is about one thing. It's about Jesus. And he asked a question to us that he posed to the disciples. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Well, the disciples, you know, there's always Peter. And Peter always has an answer. And in this moment, this is one of his better ones. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." Now, we're going to do something just a little bit different here tonight. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't feel real great about it. But what I prayed all day is I want this night to be completely about Jesus, that he would get every ounce of the glory for tonight. I believe it, with all that is in me, you know, Isaiah teaches that you and I, we were created for the glory of God. I mean, that's the whole purpose of your life. That's why he created you. That's why you are here, why you exist, why you live and why you breathe, so that your life will bring him glory. And I say that to you tonight, and I wish I could see every person's face on this field tonight, because I want you to know, because as you walk through this life and you meet people who think they know Jesus, and you meet people who think they know a lot about Jesus, and those people don't think much of you, I want you to know they can't know Jesus. Because I want you to know about this Jesus, where so many have said he's a good guy. C.S. Lewis said, let me tell you something about Jesus. This is a paraphrase. He says, where this Jesus is concerned, there are only three options. He is either a liar from the pits of hell who said that he can save you when he knows that he can't. Right? If he's telling you that he has the words of life, but he knows that he doesn't, and he's lying, how can you say he's a good man? He's evil if he's not who he says he is. C.S. Lewis said it, or here's the other thing. He's not who he says he is, but he believes it. You know anybody like that? And Jesus is either a liar who's as evil as the devil himself, or he's a lunatic who just thinks that he can save when he really can't, but he's not being evil about it. It's just what he believes. It just doesn't happen to be true. He's either a liar or a lunatic, or C.S. Lewis says this, he's indeed the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And if you're here tonight and you do not believe that he's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, I want you to know that you can't say he's a good man. Because if he is not the Son of God, if he is not who he says he is, you cannot say he's a good man. And you can't find another figure in all of history that brings the controversy that Jesus brings. Why? There is a reason. Because he's absolutely who he says that he is. And Peter got it right. Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. That is who you are." And the message tonight is just to ask that question. What about you? Now, you know, and I'm not trying to insult anybody, but you know that obviously when I say, but what about you? Who do you say he is? I'm not asking for you to reveal anything to me. I'm asking because that's a question that every one of us will be defined by. Did you hear that? Now, I want to trail into some more good news, and here it is. That is the question by which your life will be defined. Many of you here tonight think that your life is already defined by the things that you have done in your life. And I'm not necessarily talking about the achievements and the accolades, but many of you think, well, these are the things I've done in my past that are wrong, and I'm defined by those things. But I got good news for you tonight. Jesus defines you. Sin doesn't. Isaiah wrote about Jesus. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him. Nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised and we esteemed Him not. And then the prophet writes, surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, and yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. But the Bible says this, and this is the good news of the gospel, but He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. The prophet wrote, the punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. Because I'm telling you tonight, He doesn't care how the crowds cry out. But He asked you personally, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And the prophet Isaiah writes that He did this. And He's the only one who could have done it. Jesus has done for you and for me what we could not do for ourselves. Jesus did it. He became, listen to this, He became like us, the Bible teaches. That God is in His throne in heaven. And you and I are on the earth, and sin has condemned our lives. Our sin has separated us from God. I don't care what sin is the sin in your life, or maybe you're like me and there's not just one. There's a bunch. I want you to know this. I want to say it again. You're not defined by that sin. It's Jesus that defines you. And that's why He asked this question that not only changed all of history and all of eternity, but that question can change your life. Who do you say that He is? I want you to know. God knew that there was no hope for us. That when we were given the choice, not one of us chose to follow Him. All of us desired sin. All of us. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, this guy's really judging me. No, I'm judging all of us. The Bible says that we did not choose God, but He chose us. And let me tell you about this God. His love was so great. The Bible says in that while you and I were still sinners, He came and He died for us. He did not first ask, did you clean yourself up? Or did I clean myself up? He did not first ask, did you get your life together finally? And He did not ask, did I get my life together finally? Because I can't get my life together. And I can't get my life in order. I had no hope. And He came while I was a sinner, while my life was a mess, while my life was out of order. He came and He died, and He is truly tonight, I want you to know, the Savior of the world. And so the Bible teaches us that God became like us. Except that He was without sin. The prophet Isaiah records my favorite account of what Jesus was really like. But I want you to know, not only was Jesus the Son of God, Jesus was God. And I want you to hear that tonight. Because I want you to know it was God Himself who was beaten, who was abused, who was mocked, who was betrayed, and who went to an old rugged cross. So that your sin could be forgiven. So that my sin could be forgiven. It was God that did that. Because there was no hope for you or for me. I want to tell you this tonight. I look at different aspects of my life. And I see in my life these compartments of my life that are just messes. I hope that doesn't shock you tonight. I hope that doesn't disappoint you tonight. I mean, right now, when I look at parts of my life, they're just a mess. And I'm doing my best to make sure nobody knows these parts of my life that are a mess because I want you to think I've got it all together. And I want you to think I've got all the answers. And I want you to think that I'm holy, that I'm spiritual. And I guess in the long run, what I really want is for you to think I'm something. But those parts of my life, they're a mess. And this is the message that God gave me. He said, Jamie, your life in your hands is a mess. But your life in my hands is a miracle. And I don't believe that was a message that applied to me and me alone. I want you to hear that and not be discouraged tonight. I want you to be freed tonight. And I pray that chains come off tonight as you hear the voice of God say to you that your life in your hands is a mess. But your life in His hands is a miracle. I want you to hear that. Are you tired of your life being a mess? Listen, if you're here tonight, and I asked that question, let me tell you what happened to me. When I was about 7 years old, I went with a buddy to a different church, not the one I grew up in, and we went to a vacation Bible school. And as I sat in that class, the teacher held up a dollar and said, who wants to get saved? Well, I know you don't believe this part, but being the fastest kid in the class, I made it to the teacher before anybody else. And he took me out into the hall. And I remember all I wanted to do was hold that dollar. That dollar would buy 20 Chico sticks. If you don't know what it is, Chico stick is, you haven't lived. Now, and I wanted to hold that dollar so bad, but he told me, I want you to say a prayer first before I'll give you the dollar. And I don't remember much about the prayer. I guess in that prayer, I'd asked Jesus to come into my heart, forgive me of my sin. And after I prayed the prayer, he gave me the dollar. And I was so excited, I wanted to get saved every night. Because that's, if you get saved every night, that's $365 a year, right? And if you're seven, that's a little enterprise. I was going to have my friends get saved for 50 cents and me take the other 50, you know, for working it. I want to tell you this, and you know, most of you here don't know me. I want you to know what I'm about to say, I say with all the love in my heart. But if you repeated a prayer and somebody gave you a dollar, you're a lot of things, but you're not saved. And if you went to an altar when you were a kid because all your buddies went, you're a lot of things, but you're not saved. When I was 16 years old, I'd been in church, you know, most of my life. Something happened to me that had never happened before. I remember the night, I remember the moment, and I remember being overwhelmed with a sense of sorrow because of the sin that was in my life. And it was that night that I saw God like I had never seen Him before, and somebody was up there and they were preaching, and I don't remember who it was, and I don't remember what songs he sang, but I remember them saying that sin keeps us from God. And then he didn't start talking about how horrible sin was. He started talking about how great God was. And that night I saw God like I had never seen Him before. Do you know why? Because He was breaking my heart over the sin that was in my life. It was that night that He wanted me to see Him for who He really is. It was that night that He showed me the chains that bound me only He could loosen. That only He could do that. And I remember that night being so broken. I was tired of my life being a mess. And I was tired of continually trying to dig myself out of a pit and it only getting deeper. And I was tired of that. And that night, God showed Himself for who He really was, and it changed my life forever. It is as if I heard Him say, but what about you, Jamie? Who do you say that I am? Because I want to say this again from a loving place in my heart. It is one thing to stand up and give a testimony. It is another thing to stand up and to live one. And he said, Jamie, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And I was afraid. You know why I was afraid? I was afraid because I had tried everything that was supposed to get my life in order. I tried everything that was supposed to get me out of the hole that I dug myself in. I tried everything. And you know, this was going to be it. And other people told me how Jesus had set them free. You know those people, don't you? They get on your nerves, right? But they're telling you the truth. And they got on my nerves because I didn't want to live in freedom. Because I was comfortable being all bound up. I didn't want to live in freedom because I was comfortable with the shackles on. I didn't want to live in freedom because I'd become comfortable thinking that there was no purpose for my life. I got comfortable with that. I'd become comfortable knowing that if I had a chance, I was just going to screw everything up just like I always do. And I got comfortable there. But that night when I was 16 years old, God opened my eyes. And I told you, I don't remember who was preaching and I don't remember what we sang. I just remember that night knowing for the first time in my life how truly incredible God was, how truly merciful that God was, how truly gracious that God was. That even though maybe church people looked at me one way, that night I realized God didn't look at me like that. God knew I was tired of my life being a mess. And that night, he broke my heart because I knew the sin in my life had kept me from him. And that night, I'll never forget just praying. And I just said, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe you died on the cross. And I believe that you rose again. And I believe that you can forgive my sin. And I said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive my sin. Save me. And that night, the most glorious night of my life, he saved a sinner like me. And I learned this. That whatever I had thought about Jesus before, it did not change the truth of who he really is. You know, there's people right now, right here in this moment, that are sitting at campsites. And there's people that are hanging out down by the lodge. And there's people that are down at the lake. And I can tell you this. If they would hear these words tonight, if they were my words, they'd be powerless. But I believe if you're sitting in the campground tonight, that God can save you. And I believe if you're here tonight, and right now, listen, you know what happens when God starts speaking these things, these truthful things, the Satan gets real busy. And Satan starts running all through this crowd, right? I'm going to have to come down here. Satan starts running all through this crowd, and he's running up to people, and he puts his hand up to their ear, and he whispers to them, this doesn't count for you. This is for everybody else. This isn't for you. You're horrible. You're pathetic. And Satan is running through this crowd and he's whispering to people, hey, God knows what you've done. That preacher doesn't. So you just stay in your seat tonight. Because there's no purpose for your life. And Satan is running all through this place. I'm going to tell you something. When God speaks to you, he shows you the worth of himself. And when you see God for who he really is, you see yourself for who you really are. And that means this. You may feel like that nobody loves you, nobody cares about you. But when God shows you who he is, you cannot feel anything but loved and know that God is God. And I want you, listen, don't listen to the devil tonight. The Bible says he's got one purpose for your life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and ultimately to destroy you. That's why he comes. And he wants to take your life apart. Now, I'm telling you this tonight because we're going to have a time of altar tonight. Only Jesus can save you. And I want tonight to be all about Jesus. Because our lives are about bringing Him praise, bringing Him glory, bringing Him honor. That's why you have been created. And so we're going to have a moment just here for Jesus to be lifted up and for Jesus to be exalted. But I want you to know tonight that Jesus must break your heart for the sin that is in your life for you to be saved. And it's a godly sorrow. It's a sorrow that's from Him. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. That is a good thing. Because you know that that sorrow is there. And then He forgives you. Pastor Steve and I talked a little bit this week. We talked a little bit yesterday. And you know what? We just prayed. We just prayed that God would save people. And you know what? Last night it's exactly what God did. He saved people. And last night there were people that came forward who were believers but had never been baptized. Now you know if you've heard one sermon at Hillview that we believe baptism is a big deal. It's about following Jesus. And a lot of folks came forward last night and said, I know that He has saved me, but I need to be baptized. And tomorrow morning we're going to have a celebration that it's just going to be unbelievable. As we have baptisms at the beach tomorrow night. But I'm going to ask this. Everybody just look up at me just for a second. I'm going to ask in a moment that we stand. And I'm going to ask our pastors and our elders to come down here. And I know most of you that have come tonight, you've come with a friend. And what I've prayed, because I know for someone to be saved tonight, it's going to take far more than the words that have been spoken by me. It's going to take, and I hope I've been clear about this, it's going to take Jesus. He's the only one that can save you. But I want you to know, we so believe that, and we are so serious about that, that what I'm going to do, I'm just going to ask you, not right this minute, but in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're not going to have any music just for a few seconds. And I really argued with the Lord back here behind stage. Lord, I don't want to do it like this. But I believe this is what the Lord wants us to do. And I'm going to ask you, some of you tonight, the Lord has broken your heart tonight over the sin that's in your life. And He's let you know that that sin in your life has separated you from Him. And He's the only one that can save you. I think that what He wanted to say to you tonight is that your life in your hands is a mess. And I don't think we got to preach much about that. We've all seen that in each of our lives. But He's saying tonight that your life in His hands is a miracle. And I want you to hear that. We pray tonight that God would bring the prodigal home. We pray tonight that God would forgive sin. And I'm going to have you stand in a second, and I'm going to ask tonight. And Pastor Steve and I, we've just prayed and prayed. And of course, Pastor Steve, when we start talking about all these numbers. But I'm going to tell you, it's not about the numbers tonight. Because I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if we do this, what if only one person comes? The Lord said, that's the one I want. And so maybe in just kind of a delayed moment, I'm going to ask, if God has broken your heart tonight, and you know tonight that you need to be saved, you know what I'm going to ask you to do? I'm going to ask all of us to stand so that people can get by. But I'm going to ask you to grab the hand of a friend and come right down here and give your life to Jesus. That's what I'm asking you to do tonight, because we want to talk to you and pray with you about that. So if you're here tonight, I'm going to ask you to do that. There's some of you here tonight, and Jesus has already saved you, but for whatever reason, you've refused to follow Him in baptism. See, we believe baptism is a decision, a conscious decision, that a believer makes to follow Jesus. And tomorrow morning, that's all we're going to do at the lake is have a baptismal service. And some of you, a lot of you, and Pastor Steve and I talked, a lot of you here tonight need to be baptized. And I'm going to ask you to come at the same time. And I'm asking you just to grab the hand of a friend and come right down here to the front. I want you to know this. We said this the other night. It's not God's desire that any would perish. The Bible says if the Son of Man is lifted up, He would draw all men unto Himself. And I want you to know, regardless of what the world has told you, what people have told you, what the media has told you, I want you to know this. That there is a God in heaven and He is willing to forgive sin. The Bible says He demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, He died for us. I'm repeating this. I've already said this to you, but I want you to hear it. He already knew where you've been. He's already knows what you've done. And He went to the cross anyway with the full knowledge of the things that would take place in your life. And He, I want you to hear this. If He has broken your heart tonight for the sin that's in your life, then I want you to know He will save you tonight. And I'm not going to ask you to come and to trust me or to trust one of these elders or pastors. I'm going to ask you tonight to come and trust Him, because your life in your hands is a mess, but your life in His hands is a miracle. And He will save you and He will forgive you. So here's what we're going to do. We're not going to have any music just in this moment. I'm going to ask everybody to stand right where you're at. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Go ahead and stand. Father, we love You. And I thank You for the power of the cross. And I thank You that You and You alone can forgive sin. Lord, I pray that even right now, as we pray, there are those making their way to this front to talk and pray with somebody about being saved, or to come and tell somebody they've been saved, or those that are making their way to say, you know what, I know I'm saved and I need to be baptized. And I'm going to ask You, Lord, just to move as You see fit. And we're going to ask You, Father, that You have demonstrated that You're willing to forgive sin. You have demonstrated that You define our lives. And we're going to ask You to do that tonight, Lord Jesus. And so as we have this time, may each of us be pressed with the question of Jesus that asks, but what about You? Who do You say that I am? Who do You say that I am? So we love You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. Just for a second, if you know you need to be saved or God has saved you right where you're sitting, grab the hand of a friend and just come down here. If you know that you need to be baptized and you put that off and you're not going to put it off any longer, I'm going to ask you to grab the hand of a friend and just come down here. Come now, don't wait. I've asked everybody to stand so that you can get through, and we're praying this together. So I'm going to ask you to come. Don't wait, just come right now. Lord, we pray that You would receive all the glory. Lord, we pray that You would receive all the honor. Lord, we thank You. There are those coming right now. Bless them, Father. Bless them. Lord, we pray that You move in people's hearts, Father. We pray that You break our hearts. We pray that people would follow You. Not a place, not a person, not a thing. But Lord Jesus, we would follow You. Bless them, Father. Bless them, Father. And I pray that as people make their way, Father, they make their way knowing this, that there is a Savior. And there is one who can forgive sin and who does forgive sin. And there is one that can take the mess that's in our lives and do miraculous things with it, Lord. So, Lord Jesus, just move tonight. Father, Pastor Steve and I prayed this afternoon, Father. We've just prayed that You move in a way that people forget this weekend even took place. They just remember that there is a God and He is great and He is good. So be lifted up, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. They're going to lead us in a song. But I'm going to ask you to keep coming. I know there are many of you here tonight that have heard the voice of the Lord tonight. And I'm going to ask you to be obedient to that voice. I'm going to ask you to believe the things that you've heard. I want you to know Jesus is not a liar. He's not a lunatic. He is indeed Lord of all. And I'm going to ask you to trust Him tonight. And I wanted to wait on the music because I don't want you to be moved by the music. I want you to be moved by the Spirit. And so don't wait on that. Just come. Just come now. Don't wait. We're here. We'd love to talk to you, to pray with you. So don't wait. Take somebody's hand. They'll come with you. They'll pray with you. Some of you, you're in the very back. You're by the bleachers and you're thinking that nobody sees you, and you're partially right. I can't see you, but not only does God see you, He invited you here tonight. He sees you by the bleachers. He knows that there's some in the campsite and they've heard every word tonight. And they don't have to come all the way over to here. He'll save them right there. I'm going to ask you to come. Don't wait. Don't wait. Listen, when you come up here, you are not admitting in any kind of way that you're worse than anybody else here. He has saved us. He gets the glory, not us. So continue to come. Continue to make your way. Take somebody's hand. Trust the Lord tonight. Trust the Lord tonight that this would be a field of salvation, a night of salvation, and that God would be glorified. Would you trust Him? You come.